What's up, Knoll Nation? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Plant the Spear. I'm Jesse, that's Michael, and we are getting ready to break down the ACC Championship, Florida State versus Louisville. Michael, this is a championship game, so it requires a championship-level breakdown. And
let's go.
We have dug pretty much under every stone to find every good thing that we can do. You know, the thing is about this one, Michael, is, it's of course, it's a conference championship game, so there's always a lot on the line. But when you talk about for Florida State, there's so much on the line in this game. We were just talking about it. The ACC championship, a playoff berth, your undefeated season, all that stuff is on the line.
Yep.
Louisville, of course, they want to win the conference, but it's not quite the weight on their shoulders that it is for Florida State. I think this is going to be a good one. I think it's going to be close. A lot of people, and we're going to talk about this in a second, a lot of people, man, we're back to being FSU versus the world. Everybody hates us. Everybody wants us to lose. Everybody's picking Florida State to lose. Yeah, man, give me some of your overall thoughts before we jump into this preview.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me back again, man. Yeah, I mean, as you said, Florida State has everything to lose and honestly, everything to gain at the same time, whereas Louisville has everything to gain and nothing to lose. This is the first year of the Jeff Brohm era at Louisville. So him even making it to the conference championship game is already a win in of itself. They're 10-2. They have a big win against Notre Dame. They went down and beat Miami in front of their three fans. Like, so they've accomplished what they've set out to this year, basically. Whereas Florida State, I mean, yes, we have the undefeated regular season, only the fourth team in school history to do that, sixth time in program history to have an undefeated regular season. That's great. That's awesome. But that was only one part of the beginning goal. Right. The goal was to get to the ACC championship, potentially make the playoffs, potentially vie for a national championship. All those goals are still right in front of you. And the bigger of the goals, especially for Florida State's reclaiming of the ACC throne, is the fact that you've got to win this game to tell the world, to tell the nation, to tell recruits, even to tell yourself that you are the king of the ACC again. You sit on the throne of the ACC. You beat Clemson already. You conquered that large feat that had been in your way for the last 7 or 8 years. You've done it. Now it's time to put a ring on it.
Yeah, and this really was the number one goal at the beginning of the season, was just to win the conference. I mean, you thought the potential for a playoff run was there. You thought that a possible national championship, if things go your way, was good. Of course, you know, all those expectations we had gasoline dumped all over them when they beat LSU the way they did.
Yeah, everyone thought, right.
Okay, all right, well, now we're booking our tickets to Houston. But obviously, things change, the ebbs and flows of the season. But again, as much as we want to win a national title, the ACC championship was still the first goal on your list to cross off. And now you are here. Now it is time to kind of put up or shut up. And it's not even the rematch that you thought against Clemson. It's now against Louisville, a team that, like you said, overachieved in year one under Brohm, who's a good coach. And, you know, they may be something to deal with going forward. But like I said, man, a lot of people just they don't have faith in Florida State after that game at Florida. And I think that when you look at, you know, now they're back fourth in the rankings. That's important. That's good. I think that was just a really tough environment, and I think people are kind of putting too much weight onto that game. I know every game had to be played. A lot of teams struggled last week, and I think Florida State is going to get better week over week. When you just talk about that difficult environment that they had to go into with the backup quarterback and Tate, and we're going to talk about all that coming up when we do our offense versus defense preview. But man, that's the thing that's so interesting when we get ready to look at an overview of this game, is kind of, it seems like in 1 week people have just dumped their stock on Florida State, and I think this is a chance where Florida State kind of hears, you know, they focus on themselves. We know that's what Norvell preaches. But I think they're going to feel like their back's against the wall a little bit in this one. Like they got something to prove in this game, because everybody's down on Florida State right now.
Right. Well, I mean, we kind of talked about this in our Florida game reaction video, which is, you know, it's easy to say, well, Florida State's terrible. Look at how they did in that game. And they're a different team with Tate Rodemaker and as quarterback. Like, they're just unworthy of it. Now, is it true that Florida State's offense is a different offense with Tate? Absolutely. But let's consider the factors one more time, shall we? They walked into a sold-out 90,000-plus Gator Swamp Ben Hill Griffin Stadium trash dump stadium, right? 90,000 people screaming their heads off with a backup quarterback who's making his first start since the 2020 season, where he started against Jacksonville State and threw two or three interceptions and was benched, right? He's come in a couple of times in spot duty to you know, for injured Trevor, Jordan Travis, against Louisville last year and against obviously Northern Alabama this year. He's played in spot duties, you know, and blowout games. So he came in that. He walked into that stadium. They had just lost their leader. I mean, the glue to this team in Jordan Travis. Yes, he is going to be rattled a little bit. Yes, it's still inexplicable how he took that sack. But again, when you look at that drive, Florida State, you know, Florida went on a 12-0 run to start the game, right? Absolutely terrible. Worst way to get that game started. But then Florida State got themselves together and went on a 24-3 run to end that game with Tate Rodemaker making some incredible throws, some great, that last touchdown that that Trey Benson ran in to seal the game. That was a Tate Rodemaker check. I mean, they called the double check play for Tate, and he checked them into the right play to get that run, to get that touchdown. And so, as you said, Jesse, like, you know, we see the biggest improvements from week one to week two of a quarterback start. And so why not anticipate that Tate would be better this week against Louisville? Why not anticipate the offense will be better? Because now Tate has had basically two full weeks of practice, one meaningful games where he took almost every single snap at quarterback. Why not? Why not anticipate that he could actually be better this next game?
Right. People seem to act like this is just it. Like that was the best it's going to get. And it's like, man, you have to weigh the circumstances. You have to add context to that.
Right.
And they can get better this week. And that's why I feel like, you know, this isn't a CFP ranking show. We just did one of those and we'll do more in the future. But again, when you talk about just them being back in the top four and making the ridiculous case that a one loss team can jump them, I feel like at this point, it's just, let's see what they do against Louisville. They're still a top 15 team. Let's just let them go out and see what they do another week before everybody sells their stock on Florida State. Because again, it was his first start since 2020. Right. It was a tough environment to ask someone to go in there and win that game. Anybody probably would have dealt with some, you know, some nerve issues and stuff like that. So I just think give them one more game against a pretty solid Louisville team that, you know, maybe you feel a little different about this game if they hadn't dropped that kind of embarrassing loss to Kentucky there at the end of the season.
Right.
But we're going to take a look at this ACC championship game. We're going to do a little bit of overview to start with. So this is no unfamiliar territory for Florida State like it is Louisville. Florida State comes in with 15 ACC titles under their belt, going for number 16. Louisville has yet to win one. Of course, we know they haven't been in the conference nearly as long, but they still have not played for the championship game either or for the championship. Right. Florida State is 4-1 in ACC championship games. So when the lights are on, they get it done. And that's something that does make you feel good. Of course, you know, like I said, the circumstances have changed in this one. But you have two top 15 teams in this one. So if Florida State does win to become that conference champion and you get a top 15 win, that's going to make you feel good going into Selection Saturday. Now, Florida State comes in 12-0, 8-0 in the conference on an 18-game win streak. So that is impressive. So, you know, everybody wants to talk about everything about Florida State. Why don't you talk about they've won 18 games in a row?
Yep.
10-2 for Louisville, 7-1 in the ACC. They currently are on a one-game losing streak. Like we mentioned, they lost to Kentucky. Series record, Florida State, 17 wins, Louisville, 6. So you got the edge there as well. You have – now, Louisville's won 2 out of the last 3. Florida State's won 3 out of the last 5. Game info. This is some things I think that are important to talk about here. So Florida State is a 2.5-point favorite, not by much. The over-under is set at 47.5. Not really expecting a ton of offense in this one, right. More of a defensive battle, which is kind of what I think is going to happen too. That number has actually come down a little bit. The weather for this one is something we got to watch. 57 degrees, but 60% chance of rain in Charlotte. It's just, man, and most of you guys know I live in Charlotte. It's been in the 30s, so I'm not mad about seeing 57 degrees, but then the rain could be a factor, and the rain chance is higher earlier in the day. I think it's 70% earlier in the day, so even if it's not per se raining during the game, the field could be wet, so that could be something to watch for. Man, it's like I wish they would just find a dome for us to play in, because every time I go to the ACC championship, it's cold and rainy. Game is at 8 p.m. on ABC. Win probability, Florida State gets a 74.4 edge by ESPN, 58.8 by PFF. Michael, one of the things I was telling you about in pre-show that I find that's really interesting, and this is why I say Florida State, it's us against the world now again.
Absolutely.
When you look at what the money tells us, 77% of the bets are going towards Louisville, but 91% of the money is also on the Cardinals. And interestingly enough, everybody else expects a defensive battle because 93% of the money is on the under. So, man, it looks like everybody is really just sold their stock on Florida State. They're all in on Louisville. I like that Florida State, you know, they come in with that 18-game winning streak. Louisville is coming off that loss. That could be either a gut check for them or whatever. Yeah. And that's another thing that I did find interesting. A lot of people actually expected Louisville to kind of lose that Kentucky game because they were 1-6 in the last seven.
Yep.
And then it was they called it a trap game. It was at home, bad team, and they had the ACC championship locked up. Well, I mean, Florida State was already locked into the ACC championship. They had to go on the road against a similar level of team, and they got it done. So, yeah, man, I think that just speaks to what Florida State did against Florida, too. But, man, I think this is going to be a really good game. I think that it's nice that Florida State will get it in a neutral site atmosphere. Probably I expect Florida State to have a little crowd edge in this one at a minimum of 50-50. I'm thinking 60-40, maybe even more because Florida State does travel well. You know, especially in a game like this where we haven't been in the conference championship in a long time. And it's funny, I joke, like, I remember the last ACC championship we were at, me and a friend of mine that went, we were doing the war chant on the stage at Whiskey River in Charlotte with Red Lightning on stage. And Whiskey River doesn't even exist anymore. It's not even there. So
it's gone.
Right. But Red Lightning's back. He's with the ladies team. So, yeah, man, I think it's going to be a really good game in Charlotte. I think it's going to probably come down to the wire. And I think these are two teams that are going to battle it out. And I'm just interested to see in this one how Florida State, like we said, how do they respond in week two under Tate Rodemaker? Because people talk about the quarterback change, but there's still 21 other starters and the depth players and the same coaches. They're all still there. And so I like Florida State in this one. But, man, the public does not like Florida State in this game.
Well, I mean, it's the age-old added, right? You look, you have the talking heads who tell you that Florida State's not good enough to be in the playoff. Florida State's not worthy of a playoff spot. These teams are much better. The star quarterback goes down. The backup comes in. He gets on the road. He struggles a little bit. And, of course, you're just like, okay, yeah, Florida State's done. You look at Louisville and you think, well, they've got all the minimum. Yes, they lost to Kentucky, but Louisville always loses to Kentucky when it comes to football and basketball. But you chalk that up as like a whatever. But you look at Louisville, you look at that defense, and you say, yeah, there's no way that Tate and that defense that struggled against that terrible defense of Florida, how are they going to fend against Louisville? How are they going to move the ball against Louisville? Louisville is much better than Florida. And sure, you can say that, but I'm telling you right now, I would bet half my paycheck, not all of it, but half my paycheck, that if Louisville had walked into the swamp Saturday night, they would have struggled mightily. I mean, look what Kentucky did to them. And Kentucky's a terrible SEC team. And look what Florida State did to Florida. Yes. Florida owned Florida State for that first quarter. They were discombobulated. They were running plays that the defense were, their eyes were not in the right place. They were running all this eye candy. They were running, you know, unbalanced offensive line where you only had one guard on the other side of the center and not the tackle because the tackle was on the other side. They were doing all these things to try to get Florida State off balance. And it worked for a quarter. And then Florida State figured it out and went on a 24-3 run. I don't think Louisville does that in the swamp.
Right. And you still put up 24 points. So that's, you know, that's still not bad there. And on top of that, when you look at Louisville's best win against Notre Dame, it was at home. So like how many challenging environments have they played in? And yeah, it was interesting for me to see that money line and see how heavy everybody was. I saw before we came on Josh Pate again. He picked Florida to beat Florida State last week and he was wrong.
Tell me
there.
He picked Louisville.
He picked Louisville and went on to say that it's a little confidence bet for him because he thinks that they're going to get it done. He's picking them to win. He
great,
them to cover.
He's been wrong.
Of course, it's a three-game thing. But he said his justification was their model or whatever has been right on Louisville for the Notre Dame, and then it was right on Pitt for the loss. So, I mean, congratulations. That was a pretty good pick because I didn't see really either one of them coming. I probably would have picked it the other way. But, you know, again, you picked Florida last week, and it wasn't right. So now hopefully he's wrong again. Hopefully, this is what I'm hoping for, Michael. And I don't know what you were doing on Thanksgiving Day. I don't know if you had the TV on with football or not, but I'm hoping Louisville, you know, their popular guy, their celebrity alumni or whatever you want to call it, is Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow.
If you're over 30 and you're probably asking who that is, don't bother because it's don't bother. But I hope Louisville plays as bad as his halftime show was at the Packers Lions game, because it was atrocious. So if they play as bad as his performance was in that game, I think we're good. Yes. But let's take a look at these teams compared in some advanced metrics to start with. So your F plus, these are opponent and pace of play adjusted metrics here. So Florida State comes in at a number 7 team ranking. Louisville is at number 20. Offensive rank, Florida State is 14th. Of course, we know that a lot of that has to do with Jordan Travis.
Right.
That number did fall a little bit after the game last week. Offense for Louisville is at 27th. So pretty good. Not the best you faced, obviously, but one of the better offenses that you faced. Advanced Metrics has Florida State's defense at 8th, so a top 10 defense. And that's really where you're going to be, you know, really kind of laying.
You're going to hang your hat.
Exactly, exactly. And then the 22nd ranked defense for Louisville. So it's going to be a challenge for this offense. That they are good on defense. Special teams ranked, Florida State gets an edge here, 20th compared to Louisville at 58th versus F plus top 30. Florida State is 4-0, Louisville is 3-0. So you kind of slice it down the middle here. Florida State gets a little bit of edge on offense and defense and in special teams, but it's not a really wide margin. So this was something that I was telling you about before the game, too, as we get ready to roll over to this next slide, where these teams, man, they're a lot closer than I thought when you start looking at some of the advanced metrics. Now, of course, you know, strength of schedule goes into play for that and who they've done it against. But when you look at yards per play margin, which it obviously is basically how much your offense gains versus how much your offense or your defense gives up and the difference. So Florida State comes in at 11th in this ranking and Louisville is at 8th. Your net success rate, Florida State is 15th, Louisville is 16th. Your EPA per play margin, Florida State is 9th, Louisville is 13th. And of course, then turnover margin, you are at plus 11, tied for 5th. Louisville is at plus 3, so they're at least positive and tied for 40th. So man, when you look at some of these advanced metric numbers, it's close. Like they, what they are able to do on a opponent and pace of play adjusted and things like that, where you kind of factor out some of the garbage time and those types of things, man, Louisville and Florida State, it's going to be, this is why I feel like it's going to be a good game. Cause there's some pretty close numbers there.
Yeah. The only thing that, and I know the numbers tell a story, so you can't dismiss them, right? Because a team is what they are. A team is what their numbers say they are, for sure. But the thing I think about, though, Jesse, is when you look at Louisville's schedule, okay, let me just read it off to you. Georgia Tech, Murray State, Indiana, Boston College, NC State, Notre Dame, Pitt, Duke, Virginia Tech, Virginia, Miami, Kentucky, okay? And then you go and you look at Florida State's schedule, LSU, Southern Miss, Boston College, Clemson, at Clemson. Remember, no one's won there in like forever, right? At Clemson, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Miami, Northern Alabama, Florida. Who am I missing? Oh, Pitt. Okay. Florida State played, even though the numbers say, did the numbers say that the schedule was close or balanced or something like that?
It's actually, your strength of schedule is pretty close. I had in the playoff slide or whatever, where I looked it up. It's pretty close.
Right. But like you look at the out of conference schedule. So LSU, Florida, Southern Miss, Northern Alabama versus Notre Dame, Murray State, Indiana, Kentucky.
Yeah, I think when you talk about Louisville and you look at their schedule, that's half the reason they were projected to be a contender for the ACC championship anyway, because there was no North Carolina on the schedule, no Florida State on the schedule, no Clemson on the schedule. They kind of bypassed a lot of those easy or the harder teams in there. I will say the one thing about them that I did notice, they have played 11 Power 5 opponents, so that is, they're just not very good. But, you know, they didn't load up on a lot of weaker teams, like out of the non-Power 5 teams, like St. Georgia did, where they played, I think, three of their first couple of games or whatever. But, yeah, man, I think that's just when you talk about the schedule and results here, you're talking about Georgia Tech in a neutral site, 6-6. That's not necessarily a great team. They won by 5 points, and they trailed by 15 points at half. Now, I give them a little bit of leeway there because that was their first game for Jeff Brom, first game for the transfer quarterback as well. Then they beat Murray State 56-0. They're a 2-9 FCS team. We don't need to talk about that one. Then they beat Indiana, who's 3-9 out of the Big Ten, so not any good, 21-14. Then they beat BC 56-28. BC's 6-6. We know that, you know, they beat them worse than Florida State did, but we know there was a lot of other factors in that game. We talked about the flu and things like that. Then they beat NC State 13-10. Now, NC State ended up being pretty good at 9-3, but I do have a note down here. When you look at the split on that game with stats, North Carolina State only put up 201 yards. And in after that game, NC State made a change of quarterback.
Correct.
So take that for what it's worth. And I know they played Marshall in the next game, who's not a Power 5 team, but I think they put up 48 points in the next game. So then they beat Notre Dame, obviously their best win of the season, 33-20 at home. Their Notre Dame finished 9-3 on the regular season. But again, Michael, this is one where you kind of have a little asterisk next to it. Now, you force turnovers, you get credit for them. That's fine. But they have five turnovers in that game, five sacks on Sam Hartman. And when you talk about Notre Dame, they were at the tail end of a tough stretch. So they played, they had a last second loss to OSU, to Ohio State. Then they had a hard fought win at Duke, a healthy Duke.
Right.
And then they also had to go on the road and play a ranked Louisville team. So, yeah, man. Now they did go on to finish that with, they finished that stretch with a win over USC, who kind of ended up falling apart. But, you know, five turnovers in that game. Again, you get credit for creating turnovers, but you know, when you get 10 to 12 drives in a game nowadays with the new clock rules and everything like that, and you give it away five times, I mean, what do you expect to happen? So
you're at a disadvantage already.
Exactly. So then they go on the road. They lose at Pitt, who's 3-9, 38-21. Now, this is, again, the same story here. Louisville was the one that made the mistakes. They had three turnovers in that game, and Pitt had zero. So now you look at whoever plays the cleaner game and doesn't give those at-bats away has the better chance. They beat Duke 23-0. At first, that game looks pretty good. Duke 7-5. Man, Duke was not the same team after that Notre Dame game where Riley Leonard got injured, and then he got re-injured again in the Florida State game right before that game. So that one, you know, they had a pretty good performance there against that Duke defense, putting up 23 points. But yeah, man, it's just a different game when you talk about what Duke became after the Leonard injury. Probably a part of the reason why he transferred out. They shouldn't have played him injured, and now his head coach is gone too. So. But then they beat Virginia Tech 34-3. Now, you're probably saying, well, it's Virginia Tech. They're not any good. They are 6-6. They're a bowl team. The reason this game stands out to me a little bit is they dominated Virginia Tech. 34-3 was the score, but the stat split is what's more impressive. They gained 382 yards. Virginia Tech only had 140 in that game. The one thing I will say about that, Virginia Tech is 2-4 in road games. They are not good on the road. They are good at home. The two road wins that they have are BC and UVA. UVA is the worst team in the ACC, or second worst team behind Wake Forest, or ahead of Wake Forest in the ACC. So, you know, but also Jamari Thrash didn't play in that game, and you still put up 34 points. And then they beat UVA 31-24. UVA's 3-9 again, second worst team there. Trailed 14-0 at half, and they finished, or they go on the next week 38-31 against Miami on the road. Pretty, you know, that's a pretty good win there. They also, and when you talk about common opponents, Miami's hard to use because they had Tyler Van Dyke in that game. We know that the freshman didn't play after having his injury. But then they finished the season with that disappointing 38-31 loss versus Kentucky at home, 7-5. But again, Michael, just when you're looking through the schedule, they had a lot of close games against really bad teams. And that's something we talked about in the last show. Louisville is a team that they seem to get up to the competition. But, man, they really play down to the competition, too. So they have some really kind of head-scratching games in both directions.
Right, absolutely. And they're a good team. Now, we're not trying to say they're not a good team. They're a really good team. They're well-coached. Jeff Brohm is one of the best offensive minds that's out in the game there. Ron English, former, you know, Michigan former Louisville, way back when under, I think, Bobby Petrino as the Louisville defensive coordinator back at Louisville. He's a really good defensive coordinator. They have a good defense. They're good. The problem I have with them that makes me feel suspect about them is that their schedule, when they've played, as you said, they've played well against the best teams, and they've not played as well against the worst teams. And they're on a trend. Their defense has been trending downward over the course of the last three games. I mean, you just look at the score. You just look at their score there, and you see that they have not been playing to their peak efficiencies of what they have. I mean, they've given up 24 points to Virginia, as we've already said, it's a terrible Virginia defense or offense. They've given up 31 points to Miami. They had Tyler Van Dyke back at the game, but Tyler Van Dyke is, we call him Turnover Van Dyke. There's a reason for that, and they struggled to keep him off the field. And then they lost. They gave up 38 points to a Kentucky team that literally had come in the game. I think they had lost like three or four straight before this Louisville game, and they couldn't throw. I mean, they couldn't throw the ball very well. They could run all right. Their receivers were dropping the ball. The offensive line wasn't pass blocking for Darren Leary very much, and yet they came in and just took this game from Louisville. I mean, that defense gave up 38 points. Let me see how many yards. I think it was
they did actually. You know, the funny thing is, I have a couple of notes on these games here. The one thing I will say about the UVA game is UVA did have a defensive score, so they gave up 17 offensive points in that game. Miami was 31, and I will say the thing about Tyler Van Dyke, he may be a turnover machine at times, but I will say that when you talk about just from pure throwing ability, he's a better quarterback than what we saw as the freshman, just throwing the ball. I mean, we know that with what we saw as him as a freshman, and like we talked about in the Texas A&M game, I mean, he threw for like 400 yards or something like that. Yeah. But he comes in, he throws for 327 yards against this Louisville defense. So when you see the better quarterbacks that they've played, they've kind of cut the secondary up. And then against Kentucky, they gave up 289 yards. But I will say that Kentucky did have a kickoff return for a touchdown. Yeah. So it was 31 offensive points. But still, I mean, you're talking about 31 points to Miami, 31 points to Kentucky, and 17 to a UVA team who's really not any good. So, I mean, their defense has struggled a little bit, and I think a lot of that has to do with the passing teams that you've seen, where UVA threw for 314 yards through the air on them, Miami threw for 327. Kentucky's wasn't that great, only 206, but, you know, again, they managed to get things done, and it's impressive, man. I have UL, so it makes me think Louisiana. Louisville had three turnovers in that game. So, again, it's about playing the clean game against this team. Kentucky, man, this is actually pretty impressive. Zero turnovers, zero penalties. I don't know that I've ever seen a team have literally no penalties.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, I think when you look at the context around it, you feel like maybe you are catching them at a good time.
Right.
Of course, it may not be a great time for you because, you know, you got a backup quarterback. But let's first start, now that we've kind of ran through their schedule, refreshed our mind on what they've done. Beat up on a bunch of Power 5 teams that aren't really very good. So let's talk about what the Florida State defense is going to face against this Louisville offense. So let's run through some numbers real quick here. So Florida State's defense versus Louisville's offense. Your scoring offense for Louisville is putting up around 29.6 points per game, 51st in the country. Scoring defense for Florida State, 16.8 points per game, 11th in the country. Passing offense for Louisville, 255 yards per game, 47th. So kind of middle tier there, not anything super great. Passing defense for Florida State, we know, has been really good. 175 yards a game allowed, 10th in the country. Had another sub 100-yard game allowed against Florida last week as well. So rushing offense for Louisville, 150 yards per game on the ground, 78th. So they haven't really run the ball great. Now, they do have some games where they really racked up some rushing yards. So they've been kind of hit or miss there. Florida State's rush defense, 140 yards per game, 47th in the country. Third downs, Florida State's been excellent on defense at third downs, 28.5% conversions allowed, 5th in the country. Third downs for Louisville, not been as good, 38.9% conversion rate, 69th in the country. Red zone, 81.8% conversions for Louisville, 82nd in the country, not too great there. Florida State's been pretty good, tied for 24th in the red zone. So talking about this offense, man, you know they have a couple playmakers. They have two good backs. They have Jawar Jordan, who's rushed for 1,071 yards, 6.4 yards per carry, 13 touchdowns, one fumble. He's a quality back. And then while he was dealing with some things, they ended up kind of stumbling on Isaac, and I can't even pronounce his last name, but he's number 23. So he comes in, and he's rushed for 639 yards, 6.1 yards per carry, 8 touchdowns. So they got two good backs. And, you know, when you talk about their rushing offense, the numbers don't necessarily pop at you. But when you look at some of the games, you know, they ran for 227 yards on the ground, 6.7 yards a carry against Georgia Tech, you know, 184 yards against Indiana, 194 on the ground against Boston College. Now, they really struggled against NC State. 20 rushing yards, 0.7 yards a carry. You know, 185 against Notre Dame, 80 against Pitt, 234 against Duke, 231 against Virginia Tech, 180 against UVA, 162 against Miami, and 161 against UK. So there's some games where they really struggle. And there's some games where they really pop off some rushing yards. So I think that's going to be something to watch there. Talking about the passing offense, you know, we know that the quarterback is not the most impressive guy, but he has some good targets to throw to. When you talk about the Thrash kid, Jamari Thrash, he's really 798 yards on the season, 56 receptions, 6 touchdowns. So they got some offensive weapons.
Yeah.
But, I think Florida State, when you talk about in this game, this isn't an offense that necessarily scares you, but it's not a bad offense by any means either.
Well, again, as I said earlier, you know, Jeff Brohm is seen as probably one of the top offensive minds in the country. So he's going to have this team ready. He talked about in his ACC media championship media availability about how he wanted to make sure that there were some things that they put in the game plan that Florida State hadn't seen. Right. So, you know, he's going to come up with some, I won't say wacky formations, but just some looks that maybe Florida State can't prepare for, right? Because he just created them. You look at Jake Plummer, and Jake Plummer was with Jeff Brohm at Purdue. He's not a flashy QB. He's not super mobile. He will take off on you. You know, he's kind of got that Peyton Manning kind of slow type run, but like he knows when to run, you know, it's wide open. He picks up 5 to 10 yards and you're just like, how in the world did we let the statue get, you know, 10 yards? You know, they can score points, you know, they will not lose this game because their offense can't move the ball. But I do think that Florida State's defense will be the best defense they've seen all season. Yes, even better than Notre Dame. Yes, even better than Pitt. I think Florida State defense is the best, most athletic, most downhill, and one of the best pass defenses they're going to see this season. Will Louisville break some runs? Yes, they're going to break some ones. They have a pretty decent offensive line. They will get some passing. You know, even though the Thrash kid is he's injured his hands, he's not been the same player since. I saw in that Kentucky game, I think they got the ball to him maybe 2 or 3 times. I don't know what the targets were in that game, but you could tell he was not playing at his full strength. In that Miami game, he was injured as well. They tried to get the ball to him. He really couldn't do much there either. So depending on how well he's doing, they're going to spread the ball around. I mean, it's a good offense, but I just don't think they've faced anything like Florida State. Florida State's going to play likely the 2-high shell. They're going to dare them to try to run it on them. Florida State thinks that their defensive line, their front 7, matchups well with Louisville front 5 and the running backs and tight ends blocking. And, you know, Fuller has shown, especially recently, to be a little bit more aggressive early on to try to get a jump start into the game. The issue, the worry I have is Florida State's defense. I mean, the team as a whole has started slow, but Florida State's defense, specifically in that first quarter, is starting games slow. And so, you know, you saw in the Northern Alabama game. Now, granted, both Northern Alabama and Florida, just some weird stuff went down with the ridiculous personal foul call in the Florida game and some of the stuff that was all the 50 million trick plays in the Northern Alabama game. But they got down 13-0 to Northern Alabama. They got down 12-0 to Florida. In the Miami game, wasn't it like 10-0? I can't remember, but I think it was like 10-0 or something like that. Before Florida State started to score, they got down in the Duke game early on. And so you're seeing this trend. And, you know, Coach Henshaw, who used to coach at Florida State, he always says, like, what you put on tape is who you are. And what Florida State has put on tape consistently is that they are not a first quarter team. If you can jump on them, you'll have a chance. That's what makes me most nervous, is that Louisville will score. And I heard a stat, and I'm contemplating in my head to quote it because maybe I heard it wrong, but I'm pretty sure I heard the stat that Louisville, up until the Kentucky game, or maybe not even in the Kentucky game, they hadn't given up a first quarter touchdown. Like, they hadn't given up a first quarter touchdown until that game, I believe. And so that makes you even more nervous for for Florida State and that defense, right? I know we're talking about the offense, but that makes you more nervous because if Florida State's not scoring and Louisville jumps on our defense early in the first quarter because we have been slow to get stops in the first quarter, that puts you behind the eight ball now.
That does concern me because you worry about all those slow starts outside of Florida, which they were able to come back and the defense kind of batten down the hatches and everything got going. You know, you had Jordan for a lot of those. And so you worry right. that if you catch an offense, and Florida's offense is pretty terrible. So, you know, they got gifted right. into some points by the call and by a bad punt. You just worry about when you face a decent offense, and this is a decent offense, that you start to wonder at what point is Florida State going to be able to, you know, overcome that. When you have an offense yeah. that maybe can run stride for stride with you, that's I think your biggest concern there. But I will say that technically Florida State is the second best scoring defense that they faced outside of Notre Dame. But again, we talk about, you know, adjusting for competition. I think Florida State's defense right. is better. Now, some things I want to talk about with the Louisville offense. So they average their scoring offense averages 33 points a game, which is 32nd in the country. They have faced three top 30 defenses because, you know, Michael, when I look at a lot of these breakdowns, I go through so many data points. I really like right. to let the numbers speak to me because when you are in postseason play, you have so much data to work with. And right. I like to look for little anomalies in the numbers and things. And so going through looking at some of these, I like to see what they've done against a similar skill set on defense. Like, I don't care what you did against Murray State. That's not – Florida State's a million times better than Murray State. So
right.
when you talk about what they did against the three top 30 defenses – that they faced. They put up 33 points on Notre Dame. They missed two field goals, so you had the potential to have 39 points there. But again, Notre Dame had five turnovers and five right. sacks in that game. So, like, they gifted you a lot of extra chances there. Duke, they put up 23 points, and I'll be honest, when we get to the score projection, if they hold them to around 20, 23 points, I have that enough to win the game. And then yep. NC State, who has a good defense, they put up 13 points. So, all in all, like, they put up the only time they really put up a significant amount of points on a good defense, and 23 is pretty good, but you know that Duke was very limited on offense in that game as well.
Right.
You had a team with a good defense and a bad offense at that point, and you had a team that gave you five turnovers. Now, another thing that I found interesting, when you look at this is a neutral site game in Charlotte. We know that. Teams tend to play better at home. Florida State's one of those. So when you look at the points per game that Louisville has scored in road games or neutral site games, it's 26.4. So that number comes down a little bit. That makes you feel better there. At home, they're averaging 37.7 points a game. So you're talking about a 10, almost over 11 point difference in road games. Now, against conference opponents, they put up an average of 31.9 points per game. Out of conference is 35.3. So that's the thing, man, is I like to look at what they've done in a similar set against the better defenses
yeah.
in a neutral site environment against ACC opponents. And so, you know, you're looking at they're probably somewhere around 28 to 30 points, and you're hoping that Florida State has a really good defense and doesn't turn the ball over five times so they can right. hold them to that between 13 and 23 like you saw with Duke and NC State. Now, I also right. have trending here where they scored 33.5 points in the month of November. So their offense is trended. It trended down a little bit in October, then it trended back up in November. But yeah, I mean, they faced three top 30 defenses, and they were pretty kind of all over the place there. So I'm thinking if Florida State can hold them to around 20 or less points, I think that's enough for them to get the win. And right. we'll talk about that more in our score projection. But that's just a couple of numbers that I saw. I like to see what they do against the better defenses and in a similar game scenario. Now, let's talk about the quarterback a little bit. We already mentioned him some here. So our passer preview for Jack Plummer, he's 6'5", 215. So he's a big guy. Senior transfer, played at Purdue and Cal. 221 of 334, 66.2% completion percentage, 2,952 yards, 21 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. So his numbers don't look bad, but right. that 11 interceptions is something that hopefully we see Florida State able to take advantage of in this game. 68.4 QBR rating, big time throw rate, 4.7%. Pretty good, not great. Turnover worthy play rate, 3.4. Again, pretty decent, not great. Pressure to sack ratio here is 14.7%. So he's not the easiest guy to get pressure on and get him to the ground. Like you said, not a big run threat, but he will run it. 37 attempts on the season. These are sack adjusted numbers, by the way. 239 yards, 3.5 yards a carry, one touchdown, seven fumbles. So if you can make him run a little bit, I mean, he's accounted for 18 turnovers this season by himself.
Yes, he has.
So that's again, that's something that Florida State has to watch for in this game, is to be able to take those extra advantages, because you see the games where they had three turnovers, those are games they lost.
Yeah.
And so I think for Florida State, it's going to be huge to try and create some turnovers in this, to get pressure on Plummer and then make them try and run the ball, which they've been good. They've been good at running the ball. So you're going to have to strap it up in this game. But yeah, man, it's not necessarily a passing attack, especially if we don't know if their lead guy's healthy or not. That it doesn't scare you for a Florida State defense that's been really good against the pass. Stopping the run and making them make the mistakes is going to be key in this one for the defense.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I absolutely agree with you. I don't think the passing offense scares you unless Florida State proves that it cannot stop the run. Then the passing offense.
Yep.
I mean, he's pretty good at play action fakes. I watched the some of the tape on him. He's really good at that. He's really good at making sure that he hands the ball off the same way he would fake the ball to the running back. So it's very identical. So if you're a linebacker and you're trying to key in on that, you could possibly get sucked in on that as well. You know, Brohm gives him a lot of short throws, a lot of quick, easy throws to the flat, you know, stuff in the middle. He does. I think he's better at reading zone coverage than he is at man. I think he sometimes has had trouble in throwing in man coverage, but he's hard to sack because they get the ball out of his hand pretty quickly. It's when he holds on to the ball that he's run into some of the sack trouble, some of the fumble trouble, because then he has to scramble, and he's kind of loose with the ball on his scrambles, which you saw against Kentucky. Literally, there's one play where he's like running, and the guy just comes behind him, and he's got the ball just right out here, and the guy just knocks it out of his hand, and it's just like, if I'm the coach, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Tuck that ball in. What are you doing?
And that's something that we saw Florida State do against Florida. The ball just happened to go out of bounds. They've been getting good at getting some strip sacks, so that could be a real opportunity in this game. And I will say that they do have a good passing offense. I mean, it's not terrible because even when you look at the games like NC State, they only ran for 20 yards. That was their worst rushing game of the season. Well, they threw for 286. Then you look at Pitt, they ran for 80 yards. Their second worst rushing game of the season. They threw for 350 yards. So sometimes they're hot on one side or the other, but they have the ability to where if you take one thing away, they can pick up on that other thing. So Florida State's going to have to play a very balanced defense and just try and keep everything in front of them and take advantage of the mistakes that maybe this Louisville team could make on, you know, in a pressure situation where you're in a conference championship game. So now, Michael, let's flip this over and talk about the biggest challenge for Florida State. And this is going to be moving the ball on a very solid Louisville defense where Florida State is still, again, breaking in Tate Rodemaker. So the Florida State offense versus Louisville defense. Florida State scoring offense is at 38.8 points per game, which is 10th in the country. Louisville's given up 20 points a game, 25th in the country. Florida State's passing offense is putting up about 277 yards a game. Of course, we know a lot of that was with Jordan. 27th in the country. Your passing defense here, 218 yards a game, 56. So this is where you're really going to want to hit them and take advantage of that. That's how they won the game in 2022 with Tate at quarterback. Rushing for Florida State, putting up about 140 yards a game, 47th in the country. Now, this rushing defense for Louisville, this is going to be tough. 97 yards a game, 12th in the country. We saw Florida State put up, 20-something yards, 30-something yards against Clemson, who had a really good rush defense. So this is the stat that worries me. And the passing offense is the one you're going to want to take advantage of. So now on third downs, Florida State converting at 40.5%, 60th in the country. They're good on third downs too, man. 29.7% allowed, 11th in the country. Red zone, Florida State's been good, 89.8%, tied for 26, but so has Louisville, tied for third in red zone defense. So this is going to be a challenge, man. This is a defense that they have not been perfect all year. Again, when you talk about how they've done things like later in the season, you look at some of the points they've given up. But overall, man, this is it's a good defense. It's going to be one of the better ones that you've faced. And so you just kind of hope that Florida State they've really taken advantage of this week and that extra game with Tate to kind of get things going, because it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's again, Ron English is a good defensive coordinator. He has experience. He's played against, he's coached against Florida State in the past when he was the defensive coordinator for Louisville way back when. He was a head coach at Eastern Michigan. Didn't have a very successful stint, but he's a good defensive coordinator. And Louisville's going to run what is called, I kind of tip my hat to this in the Florida reaction show, but Louisville runs what is called like a bear front. And it's basically for most of the game, you're going to see at minimum five players on the line. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get hat for hat. They're trying to match up a defensive player to an offensive lineman. And then they'll bring a linebacker. They'll bring a corner blitz. They'll bring a safety down. They'll stunt. They'll do, which means they'll just kind of, you'll send one lineman in and another lineman will come through. They'll do some twists. They are going to try to wreak havoc on your offensive line so that they're confused, that they'll get into the backfield. I mean, you watch that Kentucky game, and I swear, like, they were living in Kentucky's backfield all the time. So if Florida State's offensive line does not have it together, you're going to see a lot of what you saw early in that game against Florida again, which, I mean, they're aggressive. Their corners will play up on you. Now, yes, Burnt Toast Brownlee is still there. Yes, we still should be able to take advantage of him if the offensive line can give Tate some time. But yeah, they're a tough defense. You're not going to just like dog walk this defense. And let me said a stat earlier about Louisville giving up scores in the first quarter or not. I was wrong. They have given up touchdowns. They've only given up 21 points in the first quarter. Now compare that to Florida State's defense that's given up 40 points in the first quarter. Okay. So Louisville's given up 20 points in the first quarter, 83 points in the second quarter, 86 points in the third quarter, and 50 points in the fourth quarter. So where you're going to have the most success, unless you can have it early, is really in that second and third quarter, where they're getting tired because they don't rotate their defensive players like Florida State does. So if Florida State's offense can just stay out of the big catastrophic play, you know, not have a pick six, not have a scoop and score, not have a fumble or an interception, not take big sack yardage. If they can just, you know, keep going and play even if they have to play the field position game where they're punting and, you know, just trying to leverage that defense. If they can get into the second and third quarter without any catastrophic plays, that's where they're going to have their chance to really score. And the reason I say that is because Florida State's offense in the second and third quarter. Okay, so remember, Louisville only gives up 83 points and 86 points in that second and third quarter. Florida State's offense. Now, yes, I guess you have to account that this was with Jordan Travis, but still, they scored 140 points in the second quarter, 117 points in the third quarter, and 124 points in the fourth quarter. So if you can get some semblance of that, if you can get even close to some of that offensive production, that second and third quarter is going to be key for Florida State's offense.
Right. And they always call that the middle eight and things like that, where you can kind of score and score, get the ball back and score again. And honestly, dude, the coin toss might be bigger in this game than we think.
Yeah.
Like if you can defer to the second half and get points and then turn around and get points again, that could be the difference in the game.
Yes.
And you do make a point. I mean, when you talk about that Kentucky Louisville game, Devin Leary was under pressure 45.8% of dropbacks. They blitzed 45% of the time, almost 46% of the time too. So there's going to be a lot of pressure. And I think they saw last week, Florida got some pressure on Tate. So they're going to want to try and copy that game plan. But Florida State's just going to have to finish in this game like they have all season. They're going to have to, defense is really going to have to make adjustments, clamp things down. And this Florida State offense going against this defense, that's tough. You're going to need to take advantage of that passing defense. And, you know, Tate has the arm to make the plays. If you can get him in a position where he can be upright to make the plays. Right. And so I think what's interesting about that is I don't expect Florida State to run the ball a lot in this game, which I think puts some pressure on Tate. Now, it would be nice to see them be able to break some things off. You have seen some teams run the ball against them. It's not like, you know, they're just some impenetrable force. And sometimes when you look at the numbers, like I went through and I looked at some of this rush defense, and here's some numbers that I want to share with you real quick. So obviously we know they took advantage of the pass defense the last time they played. He had the mismatch with Johnny Wilson. That's what you're hoping for. But here's why I feel like Florida State might be a little bit more successful in the run game than originally it looks like on paper. So UL, we know, is giving up 96.75 yards a game, which is 12th in the country. But when you look at the sack adjusted yards, this is the thing. They're really good at sacks. And I hate the way that this is calculated in college. Sack yards should not come off your rushing total.
Correct.
So average per game sack adjusted is 114 yards. Now, that's not a big difference, but you're talking about close to a 20-yard difference, gets you a little bit closer to that average. Now, their yards per carry is at 3.26 allowed, 15th in the country. Sack adjusted yards allowed is at 4.9. That's a big difference when you talk about yards per carry. So the and here's the other thing too, man. Here's the breakdown of the rushing offenses that they have faced, and these are sack adjusted. So the best rushing offense they faced was Georgia Tech. They put up 193 yards, 5.8 yards a carry. The second best was Boston College at number 19, 155, 6.5 yards a carry. Notre Dame, who's the 36th rushing offense, they didn't do as good, 81 yards, sack adjusted, 3.9 yards a carry. Miami, 169, 7 yards a carry. Virginia Tech, 108, 5.4 yards a carry. Duke only ran the ball 11 times, so their rushing yards on paper look like crap. But they ran for 75 sack-adjusted yards, 6.8 yards a carry.
And they were behind, so they had to throw.
Right, and this is also a team that, prior to Riley Leonard, I went and did the math on this, they were averaging around 5.55 yards a carry. After the injury, it dropped down to 4.1 because he's such a big part of that rushing offense.
Yeah.
So you're talking about in that game, they put up 6.8 yards a carry with an injured Riley Leonard still. Because you only ran the ball 11 times, it doesn't look good because you didn't put up many yards. Florida State has the 67th best rushing offense. So that is concerning that we don't run the ball well. Now, NC State, 96 yards, 4.6 yards a carry. Kentucky, the 96th rushing offense, 102 yards, 4.4 yards a carry. Leary had 3 attempts for negative 6 yards, which doesn't help your total. And this is the other thing, too, when you talk about running up numbers. NC State, 75th rushing offense. Kentucky, 96. Indiana, 106. UVA, 109th, and they put up 148 and 5.5 yards a carry. And then Pitt, who they did good against against the run, was the 122nd best rushing offense. So they haven't played a ton of good offenses, and the ones that they played outside of Notre Dame, the 3 of the 4 top ones that they played are top 50 rushing offenses, all put up over 150 yards except for Notre Dame. So it makes you feel like maybe those numbers, there's just a little bit of weird stuff in there when you talk about how good this rushing defense is, that it has a lot to do with playing really bad offenses, rushing offenses.
Right.
And at the same time, they had, I think it was 208 sack yards or something like that. And if you take that off their rush total, it just changes the way that defense looks a little bit. So I think, I don't expect Florida State to go break off 150 or 200 yards. I don't expect that. But I think if they can hit their season average of around 140 yards, and Tate can take advantage of some mismatches in the secondary with Johnny Wilson on Burnt Toast Brownlee, you know, as we like to call him, or if Keon can make some plays, I think the run game can do enough. I think Tate will be more comfortable in this game. I don't think he'll have the deer in the headlights look with the crowd. I think he'll be able to run some more RPO stuff, be able to move the pocket a little more to help the pressure out. I think that's going to be the key for this offense in this game is, you know, like I said, this rushing defense is really good, but when you look at some of the numbers, a lot of these teams still averaged between 4 and 6 yards a carry. And if Florida State can do that, I think that can be enough to keep them ahead of the chains, which is what killed them against Florida. They kept being in long situations. So if you can just move the chains and take the pressure off Tate, man, I think that's going to open it up to take a few shots too with Johnny.
Here's the thing. Florida State this season, even with Jordan Travis in, has been, I won't say terrible, but they've not been very good on first down. Like, even with Jordan Travis, they've not been very good on first down. And so that's, you saw that in the Florida game. I mean, you saw like, I think it was they had a run. They had the pop pass to Jaheim Bell. So they're in 2nd and 6, right? It's actually, this is what you want. You want at least a minimum of 3 to 4 yards on first down so that you can get, again, 3 to 4 yards on second down so that now you have a manageable, easy third down opportunity, right? But then when on 2nd and 6, your star running back decides he's going to break off a run where the hole is right there, and he probably runs for 40, 50, 60, maybe even a touchdown, and he starts to do it on his own, and you do that consistently, which happened a lot in the first quarter, happened a lot in the second quarter, you do that, then you put him behind the chains. And now you're asking your backup QB in his first start since 2020 to make a throw on 3rd and 17. Like, that's just not going to happen. Not even your greatest quarterback, your best quarterback of this season, whoever that may be, whoever that's in your mind, Michael Penix, Jaden Daniels, they're not making that throw on a consistent basis on 3rd and 17. And so
unless you're playing Auburn's defense,
unless you're playing Auburn's defense and you do it on 4th and 31,
right?
Sorry, Alabama. Sorry about that. But yeah, if you're Florida State, you know, if you're Mike Norvell, you're just trying to think, okay, how can I get 3 to 4 yards on first down? How can I get 3 to 4 yards on second down? How can I put Tate and this offense in a manageable third down? And when I say manageable, I mean third down and less than 4 yards.
Yeah, probably
four or less yards. Right, yeah. Four or less is long, because third and long, you're probably looking at six to more yards. So and if you can get in four or less,
I want to say in the Florida game, don't quote me on this, but I'm 90% sure their third and average was 10.4 yards.
It was something crazy like that.
You can't have that in this game.
No,
and I think also the screen game will be something I think that's going to be big in this game when you talk again about a team that likes to bring a lot of pressure, inexperienced quarterback in a game situation that you need to take the pressure off. I think the screen game will be big in this one too to help them keep ahead of the chains.
Yes. Well, and I think too, like what I was going to say is last week I said you should do this and Mike kind of started it and then everything started going, upside down. And so he got away from it a lot or from it completely, really. But you've got to get the ball quickly out to perimeter. The run game in this day and age of college football or in football in general is no longer this north-south run through the B gaps, right up the center or the guard. I mean, and I have a thought on that in just a second, but you want to, part of the run game is getting that ball out to the perimeter, getting it out to the wide receiver screens, getting it out on a running back screen, getting it out to the wide receiver and running like a little tunnel screen there. Let's get the ball out quickly to perimeter. Give Tate, again, what did I say? Give him some easy throws, some easy RPOs, right? Quick and easy. The linebacker comes up, you're going to throw it over. Linebacker stays back, you're going to hand it off. There was a couple RPOs that Norvell called that Tate did not read correctly. And like there was one where on that sack where he runs the RPO there and they Florida brought a corner blitz and Tate doesn't even see it. But if you go back and watch that, if Tate hands the ball off, there's a wide open hole for Benson right there. He's gone, but Tate keeps the ball and then he gets sacked. And so I really think you if Norvell can do that, it will great success. Here's the other thing. Everybody, a lot of people have been clamoring for Norvell to move away from counter, where they move the guard and the tackle or the guard and the tight end. So GT counter, GY counter. Sometimes you see like TY, so tackle tight end counter, whatever it is. But the thing is, if you go back and watch the Louisville Kentucky game, the one play that Kentucky ran to a lot of success that Louisville struggled with? Counter. So I would bet you all my paycheck you're going to see a heavy dose of counter if Louisville hadn't, at least just to see if they've shored up on how they're going to play that.
Yeah, and that's something that they were really successful with last year. And I think you make a good point. Like, there's no, outside of maybe Iowa, there's no more 3 yards in a cloud of dust anymore in football. And the screen game is an extension of the run game, essentially. So you're going to want to get the ball to your playmakers in space, because one of the advantages that Florida State has over a lot of teams is speed on the perimeter. That's what makes them so dangerous. And so if you can get the ball into those guys' hands and let them work, you take a little bit of pressure off having Tate having to make those throws. You just make an easy throw, like you said, and let your skill players do the most with it. Now, one thing before we get ready to make our score predictions here and kind of some keys to the game, I will point out when you talk about Florida State scoring offense going up against this defense. So Louisville's defense, scoring defense, and points are what matters. So scoring defense is way more important than total defense. They give up 20 points a game, 25th in the country. So Florida State's offense this season has faced two top 30 defenses. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that's what the numbers tell us. So they played against Duke, who we know had a semi-healthy Riley Leonard, so it wasn't as kind of a one-sided affair there. And they put up 38 points, so you feel pretty good about that. The one that worries you a little bit, now, of course, again, this is a different setting when you're talking about being on the road in Death Valley, sold out against a really good defense in Clemson. They put up 17 offensive points in regulation with Jordan. They couldn't run the ball at all. So, again, kind of like we saw with Louisville's offense against the better defenses, you had a couple of hot games and a couple of not-so-great games. So you just hope you can fall somewhere in the middle of that. Now, Florida State road points or in neutral site environment is 32.7. They are scoring 44.8 at home, so that's what I'm talking about. It's a little tougher to score away from home. They're averaging 34 points against conference opponents. And again, man, I know that's with Jordan Travis, but I got some other numbers that we'll share in a score prediction why I feel like we'll be okay here. So I do want to point out one thing that I had a little bit of extra time to dig into stats, so I got a little bit too far in these, but you had talked about how their defense had regressed. Now, here's something that I did notice. In September, And they played four games in September, four in October, four in November. So it's an even sample set. Obviously, it's not all against the same teams, but their defense gave up 37 points a game in September, 25.7 in October, but then 33.5 in November. So the November's not been that great for their defense. Mm-hmm. And you're hoping that Florida State, I feel like, man, if they can get around 30 points, or excuse me, I read the wrong stat there. So their defense was giving up 17.2 points a game in September.
Okay, I was like, yeah.
19.3 in October and 24 November. So their defense has gotten worse as throughout the season.
Yeah.
Right, almost a touchdown. And they played 5-3-4 games. So, yeah, man, that's the thing is, like, the top offenses that they faced one top 30 offense that was Notre Dame. They gave up 20 points. They faced Miami. That's the next best offense they faced, and they gave up 31 points. So, again, I just feel like if you can get to that 30 mark for Florida State, and there's no guarantee that they can against a good defense, but if they can get to that 30 mark and they can hold them to around 20, then, you know, that's enough to win the game. So it's not like you have right. to – I know people are going to sit here and say, give you all this BS about Florida State needs to win a certain way. Florida State has to beat Louisville like this to make it in. Man, if you win this game, it's a top 15 game. We, you know, again, we're not talking about the rankings here, but Michigan plays Iowa. You know, they're not higher ranked than Louisville. You have a ranked game. Texas plays like number 20 or 22. So you have a higher ranked game. Right. Man, as long as you win this game, I think you're in. But there's so much on the line for this one for Florida State. So with that being said, Michael, let's wrap this thing up and let's start with a couple of keys to the game for each of us, and then we'll do a score prediction. So I'll give my keys and then I'll let you give yours and we'll trade score predictions here. So for me, the score prediction here, the keys to the game here is going to be you got to keep Tate upright. You got to keep the pressure off Tate. You know that that's something they did against Kentucky. And Florida had a little bit of success against Tate with getting the pressure on him there. I think if you can protect Tate and get him into a rhythm like we saw in the Louisville game in 2022. Now, I know this is a different staff than you're facing there, but we've seen him be able to take advantage of a secondary in that game last year that had a one-on-one advantage. So if you can give Tate time to take advantage of that passing defense and then they can run the ball enough, that is it, just enough, I think that they can have success on offense in this game. I think the other thing is on the defensive side of things, man, you got to do just the best you can to make them have to just run the ball, and hopefully you can get some turnovers when they do have to throw it. And that leads me to my third key is play the clean game. Just play the clean game. We saw where they won against their best win of the season against Notre Dame by forcing five turnovers. They lost two games where they had three turnovers. So if you can win the turnover battle and not have a lot of, you know, actual penalties, not fake penalties, you know, because probably gonna be an ACC crew. I wish we could like rent a crew out of the Big
12. I wish it'd be nice,
right? Which I think the Big 12 screwed us in the LSU game, so whatever. So I don't know, maybe we just don't have refs in this game. But if you can limit the mistakes, I feel like you're a good enough team, you know, even with Tate at quarterback. And I think you're gonna see an improvement in the offense this week just from a more comfortable standpoint. I think Florida State can get it done if they just play discipline and let Louisville make the mistakes like we've seen in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my two keys to the game is one for offense, play a clean game. And what I mean by clean game is no turnovers, very few sacks, if any, very few tackles for loss, so very few negative plays. If you can manage that, if you can, as you said, keep Tate upright, so very few sacks. If you cannot have any catastrophic plays, so no pick sixes, no scoop and scores, no fumbles, no interceptions, and if you can stay ahead of the chains, so play a clean game, I believe Florida State can pull this out. On defense, do not turn Jake Plummer into a Heisman Trophy candidate. You have one of the best pass defenses in the country. Play up on them. Force them to throw the ball. Okay. Force them to throw the ball. Feed them into your strength. So what that means is you got to stop the run. Honestly, I would not be surprised if you saw a very similar game plan to what they did against Florida, because Florida was a running team. And what did they do? They forced Florida to have to throw the ball more than they could run it. Now, did Florida have some runs? Yeah, they were able to break out some runs, but for the most part, they stopped the run when it mattered. And so then Max Brown couldn't really do anything. And he got sacked and he got sacked and he got sacked. Do the same thing. Stop the run and force him to throw, which was going to give you, he is for the most part, he is a statue back there. Yes, he will take off when need to, but he's mostly a statue. He doesn't have that quick twitch like Max Brown or like those other running QBs we faced all season. He is the first QB that is like basically a statue back there. Like, let's take advantage. Jared Verse, Patrick Payton, Braden Fist, Farmer, Lovett, Malcolm Ray. It's time to eat, boys. It's time to eat.
Yeah, if you can have another six sack game like they did against Florida, and I don't think I don't know that you will, but if you could still get three or four, because again, you're dealing with a freshman quarterback there. Yeah, man, I think that's going to be key. It was great to see them have that big game right before this one. And yeah, man, I think it's just going to Tate's going to probably get sacked in this game. Let's, you know, I'm not going to act like he's not going to get sacked at all, but you just can't, like you said, you can't have any catastrophic sacks where you fumble the ball, give up a safety again or anything like pick six like that. So yeah, and I will say one thing that I did forgot to take a note on here. Their kicker is 68.2% on field goals this year, 15 of 22. I noticed because I kept seeing in their scores, they kick a lot of field goals, it feels like.
Yeah.
He's one of two from 50-plus, four of six from 40 to 49. So if you can keep them to field goals, you know, maybe you get lucky. Maybe they miss a couple of them. Right. Yeah. And so now let's get into our score projections here. And I was telling you in the pre-show, Michael, that I got a little scientific on this one. And I like to let the numbers tell me, to guide me for things, because they don't lie, especially when you're to the end of the season, you have a lot of data points.
Yeah.
Like for instance, last week I got my scoring total wrong, 31-20 against Florida, but I thought we'd win by 11. We won by 9. So it's been pretty close. And a lot of my score predictions have done good this year, but when I just kind of focus on the number here. And so what I did was the formula that I came up with, and I promise guys, I just made this up today. So this was not intentional. So what I did was I took your points average for each team. On offense, I looked at who you faced in top 30 defenses for your offenses. And then I looked at your road or neutral points per game and then versus conference. And I averaged those all together to give me a number. And so I did that with both teams. And then I did that with the defense as well. How many top defense or how many top offenses have you faced? Average your points there. Average your road or neutral site points and your conference points. I averaged all of those together. And then I took what I got for offense and defense and averaged those together. So it kind of boiled everything down against what you've done against the top competition that you played, because both of these teams are going to be in the top three of the teams that you played this season. And then I looked at what you did in neutral site or road games, because it's not a home game for either team, and what you did against ACC teams. And what that gave me was a little surprising. And the reason I say that is because what I got at the end was a combined. Now, I rounded because you can't score decimal points, actually. I got a total of 48.6 points. And at the time before the line moved, the over-under in this game was 48.5 points. I have Florida State winning by the method that I used had Florida State winning by just under 3 points. The spread is 2.5.
Yep.
I don't know if I just like cracked the code to what how Vegas finds this out, but I was pretty shocked to see that, because what that score tells us when you average out all those numbers, it has Florida State winning 26-23. When you look at the original line on this game of over under 48.5 with a 2.5 point favorite, it predicts a 26-23 win for Florida State. So it's lockstep right there. Now, I will say the one outlier that people are probably going to say is that's with Jordan, that's not with Tate. So, all right, I hear you. I took you one step farther. So when you look at what Tate did against Louisville in 2022, because that's his only other Power 5 opponent that he played, they scored 21 points in that game. Against North Alabama, I know it's an FCS team, that's fine. Only Tate points, they scored 45 points. And UF, they scored 24 points with Tate at quarterback. So when you average all those out, as a that he scores on average around 7.5 points per game or per quarter. And when you times that by four, that's 30 points. So he averages our offense with Tate, because he didn't play full games against North Alabama and Louisville. So you can't just take raw data and use it how many points did they score with him.
Yeah.
They weren't all his points. But anyway, that puts it around 30 points with Tate at the offense. So for me, I look at the 26-23 score prediction of what I got there, and Tate scores 30. But this is a good defense. So I know a lot of people – I don't know, man. Like a lot of people, some people I think are overlooking Louisville in this one.
Yeah.
I feel like that. I feel like some people saw them lose to Kentucky. And so they're like, okay, we should go in there and roll even with Tate. You know, a lot of the FSU people, they're wearing garnet colored glasses. Like I said, I speak to what the numbers give me. I know Tate scoring 30 points, but you get a little bump there with the UNA score. So Michael, I'm going to take Florida State to win 27-23. It's a win. It covers the spread. It's not super pretty, but I think a 27-23 win, at least I think it looks better this week. It doesn't look as chaotic last week against Florida, and I think they do get the job done. They take home the ACC title, and they lock in that playoff spot with a 27-23 win over Louisville in a little bit of a nail biter. And it's going to be, I will say, if it does rain too, that could slow things down some. So just absolutely. Do keep that in mind.
So you're going with the over. The over's hitting for you.
Yeah, and man, a lot of almost everybody took the under, and I see why. Two good offenses, two good defenses, not two great offenses, but you know, I just it's an offensive game nowadays. So with you know, with the way things are slated. So yeah, I'm gonna take Florida State barely in the over, but 27-23.
Okay. All right. Well, I also did a deep scientific dive. Okay. I'm gonna explain my process now. I woke up. I had a glass of water. I said, I'm sick of not being the king of the ACC. I want to sit on the throne. I want that ring on my finger. Well, not my finger, but proverbial FSU finger. I walked around for a little bit. I had some crackers. And I said, you know what? Florida State's going to win 28-20.
I like it.
That was my process. So, yeah.
I like it. Not quite as scientific, but hey, sometimes just flying off the seat of your pants is pretty good. And, you know, and I
that's
mean,
right.
That was why, like, last week, I know, you know, and everybody thought it was possible, but like, when you thought we would win 38-14 in the swamp, I was like, I just that's a little bit.
You're like, you're crazy.
I think the offense is just going to take some time to find its legs with Tate at quarterback. And the good thing is, if you win this game, you get a month for him to able to, you know, to get in rhythm and whatnot. So, hey, man, I'll take it either way. Like, as long
I'll take
as
a win. A win is a win is a win.
Right. We can win 24-23. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I still think you're going to make
it. We can win 2-1. I don't care.
Exactly. Yeah. So just get the ACC championship, get the win, and put yourself in that, in the conversation for Selection Saturday. You know, you might be sweating a little bit if you get a close win, but who knows, man? I just do feel like, I will say in this one, the last thing before we get out of here, I do feel like Florida State does hear the noise. I know they try and keep it out, but as active as everybody is on social media, I think they've been listening to everybody tell them they are not good anymore for the last week, and I think they'll be looking to make a statement in this game. I think Mike Norvell knows that, and I think he'll be looking to. It's just you're going against a pretty decent Louisville team who probably wants to prove something after losing to Kentucky. So,
correct.
Just win, man. Just win, baby.
Just win.
That's all that matters. And so I have Florida State getting the win. You have Florida State getting the win. Just a little bit of a nail biter here. But, yeah, guys, that's going to do it for this ACC championship preview. Hopefully the Noles get it done, throw up some upside-down L's. I don't really have anything personally against Louisville fans.
Me either, but I just like doing it.
And I'm going to be down. You know, right, like I'm going to be quiet, you know, until the clock hits zero. But then, you know, we'll cage some Cardinals on the way out here. But, yeah, man, so I just want to let you guys know, too, if you're still listening at this point, if you're going to be in Charlotte for the ACC championship on Saturday, Charlotte Seminole Club is having an event at Clutch in Charlotte. You can just look it up on Google Maps or whatever you use and find that location. The kickoff party starts at 3:00. I plan on being there around that time. It's literally like a 5-minute walk to the stadium. There's no cover charge to be there. So I would love for you guys, I know a couple of you have already reached out to see where I was going to be at on Saturday. I would love for you guys, if you're there, to come find me and say, hey, I'll be there. I imagine I'll be wearing a Plant the Spear hoodie, so I'll be easy to find. So come up, say hey, chop it up for a minute. And Michael, let's just get this win, man. I'm ready for a good time. I'm ready for a good time in Charlotte. I'm ready for the first ACC title to be back in Tallahassee since 2014. But gotta put up or shut up on Saturday, man. This is a really, really, really massive Saturday for Florida State.
Yeah, this is big. This is a mile marker in the life of Mike Norvell era Florida State. If they can get this title, if they can get this championship, this ACC title, it will signal clearly and most assuredly. The undefeated regular season said Florida State could be back. This says Florida State's back. The national champion says Florida State's back and they ain't going nowhere, right?
Right.
But we're just trying to unlike Miami, who's been saying they've been back for 20-something years, and they don't even know what their back looks like, Florida State can be back with this championship win. Let's go get this dub. Don't matter how it gets done. Let's get it. Let's become ACC champions again.
Let's do it. I like it. And I know, again, I know it's not the same staff, but I like that we have experience you know, Florida State's had a good record in this game. So let's hope that continues. But, man, I'm looking forward to it. Not so much the cold and the rain, but I'm looking forward to watching Florida State go out there and compete again on Saturday. So looking forward to it, guys. We will try and be back with you guys again. We're actually going to do a live show tonight, but I don't know what time you're going to be watching this on Wednesday. And, we'll have a post-game show and all that type of stuff. I'll be in Charlotte, so I'll probably be live from the stadium or at least on Sunday. But we'll be back to talk about this one afterwards. And hopefully we're talking about a big Florida State win. So thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Thank you for your support. I will see you on Saturday if you're in Charlotte. And as always,
go Noles.